Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Sandra Crispo's main goal in 2019 was to move closer to her grandchildren, something that she did accomplish in those early summer months. Sandra moved to Hanson, Massachusetts, and would help care for her three grandchildren on days that her daughter, a registered nurse, needed childcare. Sandra was thrilled to have so much time with her three grandsons, and they were equally excited to spend their days at Grandma's. On August 7th, her son-in-law would help her get her vehicle to the mechanic shop to be worked on. On their way home from the shop, they stopped at a convenience store. Sandra is seen on a surveillance camera purchasing cigarettes. Her son-in-law then dropped her off at home and left. The next day, the mechanic shop tried to reach out to Sandra with no luck. They followed up by calling her daughter, Lena, and from there, Lena tried to call her mom on and off throughout the whole day, but there was no answer. The following day, August 9th, Sandra was planning on watching her grandsons. When Lena arrived at the house to drop the boys off, she said she had an eerie feeling. She hadn't been able to reach her mom, which was unusual, and instead of letting her boys unbuckle their seatbelts and run inside as they normally would, she told them to wait in the car while she went inside first. She discovered the back door was unlocked, and when she entered the home, she noticed that the lights were all on and the air conditioner was on. Sandra's dog, who usually greeted visitors excitedly with tail wags and jumping up and down, was cowering on a recliner in the living room. There was no food or water in the dog's bowls. Sandra herself was nowhere to be found, and pretty quickly, Lena knew they had to alert the authorities. Where is Sandra Crispo? Hello, and welcome to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing persons case. The story of Sandra Crispo is absolutely and completely baffling. This beloved grandmother seemed to vanish from her own home. She was seen being dropped off, entering her house, and then she was never seen again. What happened to Sandra Crispo? It's now been over 5 years, and we still have no answers. It doesn't seem we're much closer to solving this case today than we were back in 2019. It's time to change that. Her family needs answers. Her friends need answers. And the entire community needs answers. Let's keep sharing Sandra's story. First, I do want to extend a huge thank you and a welcome to our newest Patreon member, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us over on Patreon and helping us continue to share these missing person stories. Our Patreon offers bonus episodes and our regular episodes ad-free. The link can be found in the show notes. A huge thank you again to Tim for supporting our mission. Sandra Crispo and her husband raised three children in coastal Massachusetts. Together, they ran a commercial fishing boat, and they often took their two children out on the boat with them. Sandra enjoyed being able to spend her days with the ones she loved. She has always been described as a minimalist. She didn't need much in life. She didn't want much. She was mostly happy to just be surrounded by her immediate family. Career was never her foremost thought. She wanted to be happy, comfortable, and close to her family. That's all she ever wanted. If you ask me, that is an underrated trait in today's world when career growth and drive and hustle mode seems to always be pushed front and center for everyone. But it wasn't for Sandra. Sandra and her husband would divorce, and eventually Sandra's children got married and moved away. Sandra and her ex-husband remained friendly and cordial even after the divorce was final. Sandra had even continued to work with him on his commercial fishing boat. In 2018, Sandra's father passed away, leaving somewhat of a rift in the family, mostly between siblings, it seemed. There would be some type of dispute over money. And while Sandra struggled over the loss of her father, she now had this added complication of a feud among her siblings. But it seemed that, as with many family situations, after some time went by, things improved. But things just weren't the same for Sandra in Quincy, Massachusetts, where she had lived for many decades with her family. In 2019, at age 54, Sandra decided to make the move to Hanson, Massachusetts, so that she could be closer to her daughter and serve as caregiver for her three grandsons. Her daughter, a registered nurse, worked a full-time job at a local hospital. Sandra enjoyed watching her grandsons so much that she dedicated one room in her house to them and planned out arts and crafts for them to do when they came over to visit. She made them snacks and she planned activities that they could do together. By August of 2019, Sandra was settling into her new home. She lived with her beloved dog, Clarence, and when she wasn't spending time with her grandchildren, Sandra mostly preferred to be home alone. An introvert deep down, Sandra was usually the quiet observer in the room. She wasn't the social butterfly, chit-chatting with everyone and mingling. She was the quiet one sitting in a corner, observing. But for Sandra, her preference was usually just to stay at home and relax with her dog, Clarence. Sandra was also known to be someone who lived in the present moment. She did not own a computer, she did not own a cell phone, nor did she use a debit card, something pretty unheard of in 2019. When those who knew her say that she lived simply, they were right. Sandra Crispo seemed to enjoy living a calm life. Little did anyone know that a storm was brewing and Sandra's life would soon take a drastic change. The disappearance. On August 7, 2019, Sandra planned to take her car into the shop. Her son-in-law offered to pick her up there and take her back home when he picked the boys up from her house for the day. After they dropped her car off, she asked to stop at a local convenience store. She knew she'd be without her car for a couple days, and she wanted to purchase some cigarettes. They are seen arriving at the store, and Sandra is seen on surveillance video alone at the cash register making her purchase. She leaves, getting back into the vehicle, and they drove off. Her son-in-law drops her back off at her house just after 5 o'clock p.m. The following day, August 8th, was a day off work for Sandra's daughter, leaving Sandra with a free day. Lena planned to take her boys to the beach that day. At some point, the mechanic shop tried to reach Sandra, but was unsuccessful. Sandra didn't have a cell phone, so the shop tried calling her daughter instead. Lena, in turn, started to try and reach her mother, but she never received an answer. This really wasn't too alarming at first, although it seemed unusual. Even though Sandra didn't have a vehicle to leave, perhaps she was just busy. Maybe she was outside. Maybe she was walking the dog. But by the next morning, however, Lena was worried. Her mom was scheduled to babysit on this day, so that morning, Lena drove out over to her mother's house. She arrived around 9:20 a.m. Lena says that she usually lets her boys jump out of the car and run in to see their grandmother. But that day, she had an uneasy feeling. So much so that she told her boys to stay buckled and wait in the car. Lena approached the home nervously. She found the back door unlocked and entered the house slowly, waiting for Clarence, the dog, to run and jump on her as he always did. He was a big lab mix and he was full of energy. But there was no Clarence greeting her at the door. She did find the dog cowering on the recliner in the living room, acting very nervous and almost timid, which Lena said was very odd. The dog always barked and jumped up on visitors, greeting them anxiously whenever anyone came inside the house. Both his food and water bowl were also sitting there empty, which was something Sandra would never let happen. Sandra, a huge animal lover, doted on her dog and would never let his water bowl become completely empty. All of the lights in the house were on and the air conditioner was on, but there was no sign of Sandra. There were no other signs pointing to where she may have gone either. It was as if she just vanished. But what caused Clarence to be so timid and nervous? Lena called her aunt, her mother's sister, to see if maybe she had any idea where her mother was. She did not, but she told Lena to just go ahead and bring the kids over to her and she would watch them until Sandra showed back up. Lena was panicking. She was taking on a new role at the hospital and she had to be in orientation on that day. She did end up taking her three boys over to her aunt's house and then herself headed into work, hoping to continue trying to reach her mother throughout the day. When that was unsuccessful, Lena knew that she had to alert authorities and report her mother as missing. Sandra Crispo had disappeared. The search and investigation. Lena's husband went into the Hanson Police Department in person to report his mother-in-law missing and to ask for help in finding her. Lena would leave work early that day. By most accounts, it appeared that law enforcement responded quickly and started investigating. Hanson, Massachusetts is a small town with a very low crime rate in general, and it's likely everyone thought they could resolve this mystery quickly and find Sandra, hopefully in good condition and with an explanation as to where she had been. Police searched Sandra's home and said that from their point of view, nothing looked amiss. There didn't appear to be a struggle, and aside from her dog being left home alone, it seemed that Sandra had just left the house. Specially trained search canines were brought in to try and track a scent for Sandra, but they found none. Officers also went out on foot and searched wooded areas near the home, while other officers canvassed the neighborhood, talking to everyone on the short residential street that Sandra lived on. If they did discover any surveillance cameras, anything like a Ring doorbell camera, they have never released that information publicly. Search and rescue groups also came in with drones, hoping that they could cover more ground, even see places that would be hard to see from eye level. And even more search and rescue team members went out on ATVs. The next day of searching, authorities went back out to the home and continued their search for any clues. They did find a few specks of blood in the house, and they would take a sample to send into the lab for testing. Lena, Sandra's daughter, decided to also take a good look around the home. She didn't notice much else. Everything looked pretty normal to her until she looked under her mother's bed and noted that some of the bedboards seemed out of place. She thought that it looked like possibly someone had moved the mattress. Lena and her husband had helped move Sandra into the home just 3 months earlier, and the bed frame was new. Now, this little detail, the description of the bedboards being moved or out of place, has been a controversial topic of conversation in Sandra's case since one local news media outlet printed this story. Lena had wondered if this did point to some evidence of foul play, but authorities have stood by their assertion that there was no sign of foul play to them. How did the boards become dislodged? What did that mean? Is there an explanation for this? Are we grasping at straws? Or is this a hidden clue? Law enforcement brought up the idea that maybe Sandra had planned to leave. She's an adult woman. She can certainly come and go as she pleases. Perhaps someone had picked her up and given her a ride somewhere. Maybe she just wanted to leave her life behind. But Lena rejected this idea. There was no way her mom would leave her and especially her three grandsons. She had just moved there. She was excited and enjoying this new chapter in her life. When Lena had been looking around the home, she also found a to-do list and a shopping list on the counter. Why plan and make lists if you are leaving? It just didn't make sense. As more and more local and regional media picked up the case, people started talking. As said before, this is a small town, a safe town, a family town. Nothing terrible really happens here. A few tips eventually came in that pointed to some possible sightings in Fall River, Massachusetts. Those sightings would bring everyone hope, but as soon as authorities tracked down these leads, they ruled them out. Back to square one. Hanson, Massachusetts. Hanson, Massachusetts is a small town, just about 20-25 miles south of Boston. It is an inland town in Plymouth County, and like most of Plymouth County, it is flat, but covered with many lakes, rivers, ponds, and wetlands. This certainly would make the search efforts for Sandra Crispo considerably more difficult. Sandra had just moved to Hanson. She'd only been there about 3 months. Previously, she had spent most of her life in Quincy, Massachusetts. Quincy is about 15 miles north of Hanson, moving closer to Boston and closer to the bay. She had lived in Quincy, working on a commercial fishing boat with her husband, even after they had divorced. But Hanson wasn't that far away from Quincy, but it would be a new area for Sandra to live in. Her daughter said that she seemed to truly enjoy having her own space and being in Hanson, seeing it as a new phase of life for her. Sandra was living in a home on Spofford Avenue. This is a quiet residential area with narrow roads and houses that sit pretty close together. It's likely that if something happened there, someone would have seen something, especially if it happened in daylight hours. Spofford Avenue is in the middle of a neighborhood, a small neighborhood, that is surrounded by ponds. Within a 2-mile radius, you'll find West Lake, East Lake, Muddy Pond, Stetson Creek, Stetson Pond, Silver Lake, Chandler Mill Pond, and Burridge Pond. What's interesting to me is Hanson is also the small town that Maura Murray grew up in. Maura Murray disappeared without a trace in 2004 after her car crashed near Woodsville, New Hampshire. Maura was a college student at the time at the University of Massachusetts, UMass, and wasn't living in Hanson, but it's an interesting tie to the small town, nonetheless. If you are interested in more details on Maura's case, check out her sister's podcast called Media Pressure. You're sure to get the most accurate and inside look at her disappearance, since the show is hosted by Julie Murray, Maura's older sister. The controversies. Sandra's story is full of controversies. Now, usually I do try to steer clear of such projections and talking about such theories on these episodes, but I think it's important because each one of these we will talk about is a potential look into what might have happened to Sandra. We simply cannot find all the answers we need without at least taking a look at these theories and these controversial topics in Sandra's case. Now, law enforcement has said that they do not suspect foul play. Family believes it had to be foul play. Now, of course, when law enforcement says this, it's usually simply because there's just no evidence of foul play. Not that they have necessarily ruled it out, but the problem is there just isn't any evidence at all. It's always difficult to take such a hard look at family, especially knowing that they are going through an unspeakably hard time with the disappearance of a loved one. But I do want to point out that even while law enforcement has said they don't necessarily suspect foul play, they've also said that no one has officially been ruled out as any person of interest. So let's look at all the controversies surrounding the people in Sandra's life at the time she disappeared. Let's start with the son-in-law. He is usually brought up because he would be the last person to have seen Sandra. He was the one who dropped her off at home that night, and really the last one who spoke to her. It does stand to reason that he would be questioned. However, he did have his three boys with him at the time when he dropped Sandra off. Some Facebook threads with extended family chiming in do point to suspicion on him being involved, however. Some will take it even further and involve daughter Lena. Now, again, normally we would ignore such statements. The home that Sandra lived in was in both her name as well as in her daughter's. It seems that it was her daughter that also set up Sandra's bank accounts. Right after Sandra disappeared, Lena and her husband were very active in the media to get Sandra's case the attention it needed. They hired a private investigator. They consulted with mediums. Lena and her family even went on podcasts to help spread awareness. However, things from their end would soon go quiet, and many have wondered why. Second, a new person enters the discussion, actually two people, Sandra's sister, Linda, and Linda's boyfriend, Eric Nelson. There was some recent history between Sandra and Linda that wasn't good previously when their father had passed away. There were some alleged disagreements over money, and I don't know that that is that unusual, and the specifics or the depth of what the disagreement was about is unknown to the public. If there was indeed a falling out, it seemed that things did eventually blow over and get better between them. But there would be some interesting evidence found that would bring Eric Nelson back into the picture. Remember those specks of blood that were found in the home and sent off for testing? They were identified as belonging to Eric. When questioned about that, he said, yes, he did remember cutting his hand when he was hanging things up for Sandra when she moved in. And that was just 3 months ago that Sandra moved in with the help of these family members, so certainly there would be DNA found belonging to them. But still, people wonder, how much blood would one leave behind in the home from something like that? Was Eric telling the truth? There have also been reports that Eric came to the home to help search for Sandra right after she went missing. But some have said that they found Eric searching the home, not necessarily for clues for Sandra, but telling someone that he was looking for, quote, the gold, end quote. The mechanic shop also received a fair amount of scrutiny, although I haven't found much to justify why that would be. But there is more. There are some reports that neighbors heard arguing and yelling at the house that evening that Sandra was dropped off. I mention this again because it's brought up and talked about often online. However, I found no official reports to corroborate these statements. If true, however, that definitely paints a picture of something going wrong at Sandra's house. Who was there with her that evening? Who was she arguing with? Why were they arguing? I'd be curious if cell phone GPS records were checked for these other people in her life. That data could help identify if they were near or at Sandra's house at the time of these alleged arguments, or if perhaps they were clear across town, meaning they couldn't be the ones arguing with Sandra. Specifically, was Eric's GPS location checked for that time frame? What about her son-in-law? Without having any answers, we really can't rule anything out. I am curious to know your thoughts. What do you think happened to Sandra Crispo? Sandra is described as a Caucasian woman standing 5'6" tall and weighing around 125 pounds when she was last seen in August of 2019. She was 54 years old then and would today be 59. At that time, Sandra had shoulder-length brown hair and blue eyes. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Sandra Crispo is asked to contact the Hanson Police Department at 781 293-4625. Everyone who knew Sandra said she would never leave her family, especially her three young grandsons. Something seems very, very wrong here. Keep sharing Sandra's story and her case, and let's bring this mother and this grandmother home to her family, home where she belongs. Thank you so much for listening to Sandra's story today. If you've made it this far into the episode and would like to help our stories reach more people, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. Every little bit of push helps in these unsolved cases, and we need to keep pushing. Sharing these cases on the socials help as well. You can also find the Where Are They podcast on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. All of those links can be found in the show notes. I always welcome all case suggestions and feedback. You can always DM me or email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. It's those little small cases that the media doesn't pick up, the lesser known cases. Those are the ones that need our help the most. If you are interested in bonus episodes and ad-free episodes, you can find those over on our Patreon. That link is in the notes as well. Again, thank you so, so much for tuning into Sandra's story today. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.